Thank you, Brother Gullickson. I want to thank all the brothers. I want to say good afternoon, first of all, to all that are on the call on this afternoon. We're thankful and pleased to have you on the call this afternoon. Our hope is that you come with a heart that's open to hear from the Word of God. I will be your messenger of that word on this afternoon. But again, I want you to know that this is the Word of God that you are hearing on this afternoon. Thankful for all the brothers that have thus far participated in our services on this afternoon. And again, we're just thankful that technology has allowed us to assemble in the sense that we're able to still worship God in spirit and in truth. We're able to interact in the five acts of worship that God has commanded for those that are Christians when they assemble. And we're just thankful again to be in your presence this afternoon. I'm Brother Horace Straw. For those that may not be a member of our Highland Heights congregation that meet in Acres Home at 1005 West Little York, and I will be bringing to you God's Word on this afternoon. I first like to begin by reading an article that was reported in the paper here from whence I will springboard this message on this afternoon to bless us. It says the Houston Chronicle reported this week that domestic violence victims are reporting abuse cases at a higher rate in the Houston region since COVID-19 stay-at-home orders took effect in areas counties last month. Advocates and law enforcement officials say there's been a significant increase in the number of domestic violence hotline calls and requests from emergency housing since social isolation became Houston's new normal in early March. Shelters in the region are reporting. And so we find that because of what has been deemed social isolation, where families are isolated with one another, that because of that, these cases of domestic violence have increased. And I know that I'm reporting from you here in Houston, and I would think it will be around this country where similar situations has happened. And so what I want to say to us, there are some Christians who are employed that are now in this new normal of being asked to stay at home. This set of circumstances allow for the children of God to go into the Bible and to read what is given by the Holy Spirit as to the proper attitude of stay-at-home Christians. I think we can go into the Word of God and look in the Word of God. And if you were, sisters, if you were baking a cake, I want us to look at the ingredients that God has given that if you're baking a cake, this cake will come out the way it ought to be and the way it ought to look. And then for those husbands, I'll talk to you. If you're a sports fan and you follow sports, and if you are the quarterback of this team, I want to share with you from the Word of God what makes up an ideal quarterback, what makes him the proper leader for his home, what makes him the leader of the team that allows the team to win games that are tough, those games that are difficult, those games when things may not go your way, you still, because you are the quarterback of that team, you're able to lead the team to victory. And the way that we do anything spiritually, we have the plays that are being called from up high. The plays are being given down by God. God gave it to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gave that word to men that's on the sideline to call the plays for each of our families. And if we run those plays the way they are designed to run, irregardless of the playing surface and the opponent, you can still be a winner in your home. So I thought it would be good to go back into God's word and to look at those things. We want to talk about relationships on this afternoon, relationship being the way in which two or more people behave toward one another. It's the relationships that are important. And I thought I want to look at it, time permits, look at the relationship, obviously, in the home, the husband and the wife relationship, revisit it. And sometimes I want to share with you, sometimes we have thinkings in our head that we may have been raised with certain attitudes, but I want to share with you from God's word what the proper attitude ought to be. If you are the wife at home, if you are the husband at home, if you are a sibling at home, and you have brothers, what is the proper attitude that God has said through the word? So I want to share with you, first of all, give you what the ingredients are, and then go in and see how. Talk about it from a theory standpoint. I can talk about what it should look like. Then I want to let you see it being used in the word of God as God has stated for us in the pages of inspiration. So in 1 Peter chapter 3, we had verse 7 mentioned in our hearing because it talks about the dwelling together. But I want to start with verse number 6 because when Peter penned this letter, he spoke to the wife first in 1 Peter 3 and 6. And so I want to begin there with the word of God and hopefully I can bless all of us as we look at the word of God and apply the same. And again, understand this when it comes to the word of God. The word of God is like a law and like a speed sign, a law sign. When you're on the freeway and the speed limit says 65 miles an hour. Now, again, laws are designed to influence behavior, influence your behavior. Now, I can drive 75 if I want to, but again, the laws can only influence your behavior, but also involved in the law is the safety of the speed limit, why the speed limit is where it is. And so sometimes when I look at the word of God, understand that God gives his word. This is the law of God, and involved in the law of God, it is designed for you to be the spiritual person that God would have you to be. Some of it I may not understand altogether, but again, the laws and the word of God is designed for me to be the spiritual person that I'm supposed to be. It's designed for you to be the spiritual person that you can be. And so when Peter wrote to the Christian in verse number 6 of 1 Corinthians 3, he says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. So Peter says to the wife, as Sarah was, you are, as long as you do what is right. And so what is right is sometimes we put a negative attachment to the word obey, but the Bible talks about how Christ obeyed. And so obedience in and of itself is not a negative word. It's a word that God gives to us to help us understand. And so he says here what the word obey means. It simply means to listen and to be submissive, which is a willingness to obey. And so the wife's role is one that has a spirit of a willingness to want to listen to her husband. Let me say this. Even though the scriptures encourage submissiveness from the wife, she is not inferior to the husband. She is submissive but not inferior. She is no less important than the man in the home. Yeah, so I wanted to share that because sometimes we can get the wrong attitude. No, she is equally as important in that home, the wife is. But her role, Peter said here, as long as you do that which is right and are not afraid with amazement. And what Peter is saying here is that the wife should not walk around with a feeling of fear. You are not to fear your husband. That ought not be the spirit by which you walk around and carry yourself in the home. It is no fear there. It is no fear there. But it's a spirit of submissiveness. And I'll share that as I open up God's word. And then Peter says to the husband, likewise, ye husband. He says, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Notice he says that your prayers be not hindered. And so Peter says, husbands, the word dwell means to live with. Your wife, he says, according to knowledge. Now, this knowledge here is experiential knowledge, experiential, experiential knowledge, and that is knowledge based on your experiences with your wife. You know, back in Deuteronomy 24, we have that set when Moses gave the word to those of God's people back then, and I think it's a good point to share. In Deuteronomy 24 and the verses number 5, notice what was shared then, and I'll show you where experiential knowledge comes. The Bible says when a man is taking a new wife, Deuteronomy 24 and 5, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year, and shall cheer up his wife, which he has taken. And so the writing in Deuteronomy and going back to 1 Peter, that is experiential knowledge. It is knowledge based on experience. And so the question is, husbands, did you learn from the experiences that you have with your wife? We have experiences, but are we learning from them? Am I learning what makes my wife tick? That's what Peter was saying there. It is knowledge based on the experience that I have with my wife. I've learned my wife. I've learned her. And Peter says, then give her honor, meaning make her important. The word honor means important. She has the utmost importance in my life. Behind God, she has the utmost importance in my life. He says, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together. Notice now, of the grace of life. He says, that your prayers be not hindered. So our dwelling together is based on my experience with her, that I give honor to her, that our prayers are not hindered from the Lord. And I want to say that when we talk about dwelling as Christians, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. So not only am I to dwell with her, but I have the Holy Spirit dwelling in me. In Romans 8 and 9, Paul wrote, but ye are not in the flesh, Romans 8 and 9, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And then he said in Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, notice now, dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit, notice, that dwelleth in you. And so I want us to understand that we have the Spirit of God that dwells in us. This is what is in our hearts, and this is what influences our behavior. We have to read from the Word of God, and the Word of God is designed to influence our behavior as Christians, one toward another. So now let's look from the Scriptures. Family attitudes that will serve the Christian well. And I thought, for an example of the wife, go back, turn to the Old Testament Scripture. Romans 15:4 lets us know that things written aforetime was written for our learning, that we, through the comfort of the Scripture, might patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. So I want you to turn the Old Testament back to 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 25. And I want to show us an example of a wife first. And Peter talked about the wife first. I want to talk to the wife first and then to the husband. But in 1 Samuel 25, we're talking about stay-at-home Christian. What is the attitude of the wife? Well, in 1 Samuel 25, and I begin at verse number 2. For the sake of time, I'll give the high point of this. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 25 and verse number 2, and there was a man of Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife, Abigail. And she was a woman, notice now, of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doing. And he was of the house of Caleb. So you have here, you have a wife, Abigail, that had good understanding, child of God. But then you had a man. The word churlish means he was a rude man. He was an unfriendly man. He was not polite, and we'll see that in the Scripture. So sometimes, and I'm saying this to wives, you may be married to someone that is rude, that's not friendly to others, may not be polite, but you still have to be the person God wants you to be. I know it's hard, but you still have, the Bible says Abigail had a good understanding. And then in verse 14, as we look at the Scripture, what happened in this case, David, if you have a chance to go back and read fully chapter 25, David had some young men that he helped protected that belonged to Nabal. So what David did, he basically asked Nabal, could you just give me some food for doing what we, the kindness we showed to your, keeping your shepherds, and that's verse 7, by keeping your shepherds, he said, which were with us, we hurt them not, neither were there aught any missing. He said, so David was saying, could you just give us a little something for what we've done for you? And so in verse 14, 15, the Bible says that when the word came back to David how Nabal was, Nabal basically took attitude and said, man, I'm not going to give you nothing. You know, you give what you think I'm going to just give you something because of who you are? So the Bible says in verse 14, but one of the young men told Abigail, his wife, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master. And he railed on them. In other words, he basically he used abusive language toward them. But the men were very good unto us. I'm talking about David's men. We were not hurt, neither missed we anything. As long as we were conversant with them when we were in the field. So what one of the young men that worked for Nabal told Abigail, said, look here, you know, David took care of us. He watched over us. And I just want you to know that your husband, when they came out and they asked him for something, he was hard on them, rude to them. And the Bible says in verse 17, "Now therefore know and consider what will be done, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." You may have a husband that you can't really talk to. I'm talking to the wife now. You may be married to a neighbor. Can't nobody talk to him. He won't listen to nobody. He acts like, even though he's in the church, he acts like he's not in there. And so what happened was David had decided we're going to take care of him. We're going to take him out. We're going to go in, and he's going to act like that. After what I did toward him, I'm going to do something to him. And so the Bible says in verse number 32, getting to the wife's attitude. The Bible says in verse 32, Abigail went out to meet David. Abigail did, knowing the husband that she had and knowing how he is. The Bible says, if you read the story, that Abigail went out to him and treated him the way he ought to have been treated, treated him as a Christian woman would. So David said to her in verse 32, to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with my own hand." So what I'm saying to the wife is that the proper attitude is sometimes the proper attitude of the wife is to always do what's best for you and your family, which includes your husband, who may be in the wrong. Sometimes you have to intercede for him. When his behavior and attitude is not proper, you still manifest yourself as the Christian woman that you are. You don't know, sometimes God can bless your house because of you and not because of your husband, even though others in the home will receive the blessing. Notice in this text, David said, "I came to shed blood. I was going to kill him. I was going to avenge for him having the attitude that he had, being rude to me, being harsh to me, being abusive to me. I'm going to deal with him." But because of the wife, David told her, "I want you to know this. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to the advice that you gave. I'm going to let your husband make it. I'm going to let your house make it. And I want you to know, the only reason I did that was because of you." And so I'm saying to the wife, the proper attitude, you obey your husband. You're submissive to him. You're willing to obey him. But again, the Bible tells us, when he asks you to do something that's not consistent with the will of God, we know the Bible teaches in Acts that we ought to obey God rather than man. You never allow that obedience to him to lead you from doing what God has commanded you to do. Never. And that's in Acts. The Bible teaches that we ought to obey God rather than man. So again, whenever it comes between obeying him and obeying God, you know you always are to obey what God has said. And that's, and I'll give you Bible for that, in Acts 5:29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Yeah, you ought to be submissive to him, but you're never to be submissive to him when it means disobeying God. You obey God rather than man. But again, I think that would be a proper attitude of one that is the Christian wife, of the one, and notice what Peter said, as long as you do that is right, then you are the daughters of Sarah. And because of the fact you carry yourself, sometimes you have to help even your whole household, even though the husband may not be the proper man, and he may not be. He may make it hard on you and on the family, as Nabal did in this case. But Abigail, the Bible said she was one that not only was she one of God's children, but she had a good understanding. You got to have the proper understanding to deal with your husband, to deal with others, that God will bless your family. Amen, someone. And so now, that's the wife. What is the proper attitude of the husband in this? And remember that we shared, Peter shared from the scriptures that I should dwell with her according to knowledge. But I understand the experience that I have with her. You know, these times have been some of the best times. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 29, and we'll talk about the proper attitude of the husband. But I want to know the experience that we have, and I know I can speak for myself. And I ask my wife when I come home. She's a staying at home, and when I come home, how are things at home and yours? And she said, "Obey." I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, she said, "That's a 10. She said, "That not me." And because we've learned my experience with her. What are you doing, Brother Stiles, my wife? I just said this here. We know that we're going to enjoy each other's company. We're going to play dominoes. We're going to watch Western, and we're going to enjoy each other's company. Why? Because I've learned my wife, and I've learned what pleases her. That's 1 Corinthians 7:33. Living in a house with a person is not only just to live with the person, but you understand that part of living with them is to please that person. What pleases her? And so we find, I think, an example in Genesis 29. About Jacob and Rachel, I think is a good an attitude that Jacob had toward Rachel. In verse number 18 of Genesis 29, the Bible says, "And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter." He told Laban that. And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to thee then I should give her to another man." He said, "Abide with me." And so notice now, in verse number 20, husband, verse number 20. "And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her." And so, husband, your attitude that you ought to have, now I'm talking to the husband, a one that's a quarterback of your team, the one that's leading your team, you have to love the team. Don't hate the player, love the game. You have to love your team. You have to love the player. And Jacob was one, he was a good quarterback because he loved Rachel. And he said, even though I'm out working for her 7 years, seemed like it was nothing more than a few days. Why? Because as a Christian, in Ephesians 5 and verse number 28 and 29, that's the attitude of the husband. Paul, when he wrote to the Ephesians, he said, "So ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." And so when you are a husband, you ought not have, as Paul said in the Ephesians letter, he said in Ephesians 5 and 3, he said, "Let it not once be named among you as becoming Christian." We ought not read of no Christian husbands and wives having domestic violence. Why? Because the husband loves his wife as his own body. A husband, if you love your body, you don't go around abusing your own body, you don't go around putting your hands on your wife. You are less than a man when you do that. Yeah, but you love her as you love herself. And Paul said, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but he nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord, the church. And it brings me back to an old saying about Abidal Sassoon. I had a saying that if you don't look, she don't look good, you don't look good. So my saying is that she looks as good as you want her to look. She represents you. You want her to look good, and you do things because of your love for her is the reason you treat her and please her as Jacob did for Rachel. He said, even though and then Jacob ended up working 7 more years. What happened was Laban tricked him. Go back and read Genesis 29, and he asked him to serve 7 more years. So he worked 14 years for Rachel. But again, Jacob, because of his love for his wife, when I go to work, it don't seem like I don't look at the time. It's just a few days. Why? Because I love my family. 1 Timothy 5:8 lets me know I'm supposed to provide for those in my own household. And because of that, I don't have a problem doing that because my attitude is to provide for those in my home. Provide for those in my home. So that's the proper attitude of those, of the husband in the home. Love your wife. 1 Corinthians 7:33, live to please your wife. Do things that pleases her and not just you. What pleases her? I know what my wife, I was talking the other day, what pleases, I know when the restaurant's back open, I know breakfast is Cracker Barrel. Lunchtime is Chick-fil-A. Dinner time, go to Olive Garden and get the soup that she loves. I know how to please her because through experience, I have learned what makes her happy. And so my part of my living is to try to please her and to keep her happy. What about siblings in the home? Let me just share this while I have a few minutes. Turn your Bible to Genesis 37. What if you have siblings in the home? What is the proper attitude of siblings one toward another? You have children in the home. What should be the proper attitude they have one for another? Well, I want you to know in Genesis 37, I want to set this up briefly with the time I have left, in Genesis 37 and the verse is number 26, you have a case where Joseph, his brothers was envious and jealous of him to the point that in Genesis 37:26, the Bible says, and Judah said unto his brethren, he said, what profit is it if we slay our brother and consider brother? He said, what benefit is it that I know we don't like him, we're jealous of him, we're envious of him, but what good does it do us if we kill our brother? He said, come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. And so what they did was, the Bible tells us in verse number 28, what they did, they sold him to some Midianites, and they sold Joseph into slavery. But what I want to see is the proper attitude of the brother that's been, you may have been treated, or the sister, it could be this, or it could be someone in the church. You have brethren that treat you unfairly, that are envious of you, jealous of you, and they treat you wrong. They wrong you. What is the proper attitude that I should have toward my brother in the home, toward my sister in the home? Well, for that, go to Genesis chapter 50. And I want us to see the attitude of Joseph. Remember now, Joseph was about 17 years old when he was sold. Brothers hated him, disliked him. And let me say this here while I'm at this point. Sometimes parents, we can cause situations in the home by the unfair treatment of our children, that if the children don't see it properly or see it wrongly, they will become envious of the other child. That can happen. We can be the cause of that.
about how we favor one over another. But that's not my text tonight, this afternoon. But I want to see the attitude of Joseph when his brothers came to him and they found out that they was going to have to meet their brother. And so we pick up at Genesis 15, verse number 17. And so what I want you to lock in now is the attitude of a sibling toward one another in the home, or it can be church-related. What should I do toward another brother, another sister in the home? How should I treat them when they have mistreated me? The Bible says in Genesis 15, verse 17, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did it unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake to him. In other words, they went to Joseph and Joseph, look here, man, we was wrong. We sinned. We trespassed against you. You may have a situation in the church where somebody has wronged you. You know it. They know it. And the church may know it. So this may expand outside of just the home, but it still applies. The Bible says Joseph started crying. Verse 18. And his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we beat our servants. Now they come back and they say, We did you wrong. We apologize. And notice the attitude of Joseph. That's the point in this text. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, don't be worried, don't be scared of me. For am I in the place of God? No, understand, when you do wrong, when somebody wrong you, God, according to Romans, is the one that avenges. God is the one. Joseph told him, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. What you did was you sold me into slavery. You thought you were doing evil against me, but God used it for good. We can look at this situation now that we're experiencing, and if we're not careful, we can focus too much on what's happening. But understand this. Whatever happens, God allows it. Go to Job chapter 1 and verse 2. God allows things to happen. God does. But God can bring anything to pass that he wants in the situation we're in now. So what's the attitude of the one? If you've been offended by a sibling, you've been offended by a brother or a sister, I'm talking about your attitude, not their attitude. Sometimes you can't change people that's grown. They're going to do what they want to do and behave they want to behave. But what you can change is your attitude toward them. You can manifest the spirit that Joseph had toward his brothers who had wronged him and done wrong and admitted they'd done wrong. But even if they don't, God can mean it for good. Remember Romans letter, Paul said, all things work together for good for them that love the Lord. So whatever happens, God can use this situation now. Brother Bush talked about the numerous people that we have on this call. Some of us, remember Brother Bush has talked about this here, this may be the greatest restoration period possible in the history of the Church of Christ, where those that have left the Lord may be restored to the Lord, because now they can sit down and examine themselves as the prodigal son did. You can look at yourself and look at your relationship with the Lord and see where it's not where it should be. Now I'm going to start worshiping God every Sunday. I'm going to start giving to the Lord properly. I'm going to participate in the five acts of worship. I'm going to worship God now because God has allowed me to look at myself. And so a lot of good can come from this situation that we're in now, even though there are those that we know we're praying for, those family members who have lost loved ones, for those that are also on ventilators, those that are experiencing the coronavirus. We pray for them as we ought. But then allow God to work in the lives of each individual as it relates to this. And so my time is far spent, and I'm going to close on this. And I'll just say also to the parents, when we talk about at home, stay-at-home parents, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 6, just a word for those at home with your parents, what should be my home with my children? The Bible tells us Deuteronomy 6:6, and I'm going to get into my plan of salvation. The Bible says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Notice what God said to the parents. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And so what God is saying for those parents at home, even though your children may be getting their secular education, make sure you use this time at home with them, this time that you may have been afforded that you wasn't have, to teach them the word of God. Make sure you talk to them about it. When you're walking along the way, when you're sitting in the house, make sure we turn off those television sets and spend some time teaching them the word of God that they can grow up and be the children that God would have them to be. And so that's my time on this afternoon. Hopefully I've shared with you the proper attitude of stay-at-home Christians. So now I want to speak. You may have someone on the call that is not a Christian. You're not in the family of God. How does one get into the family of God? Well, go back to 1 Peter. Let's go back where we started, 1 Peter chapter 3, and where we began in verse number 18. In order to become a child of God, to get into the family of God, you must obey God. And so what Peter said reminded those Christians in 1 Peter 3:18, he said, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might, notice, bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, being quickened or made alive by the Spirit. So what are you saying? If you're on the call this afternoon and you're not a Christian, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, how do I become a member of the Church of Christ? How do I become a child of God? What you need to understand, that Christ suffered for your sins. He was the just. He died for the unjust. All of us at one time were unjust. And the reason that he did it was that he might bring us to God. And he was put to death in the flesh. So the fact of what is called the gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried in a tomb. He rose again the third day. You must believe that. You must believe that. That's called the gospel. You must now repent of your sins, turn from the life you've been living, turn toward God so that we can bring you to God. But you must make the confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if you believe that, then the Bible says in verse 20, we're sometimes we're disobedient. We were all once disobedient. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Water now. He says the like figure what? Water, whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us. So water baptism save a person. So what you must do now is you must be water baptized. Now you've heard the gospel, you've been taught right, you must be water baptized, and the Lord will add you to the Church of Christ, Acts 2:47. He says, now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so if you want to become a Christian, one must obey the gospel by having heard the gospel, believing the message regarding Jesus Christ, being baptized in water for the forgiveness of all your sins, and the Lord will add you to the Church of Christ. And so if you're on the call tonight, and you're not, or this afternoon, you're not a Christian, I've shared those attitudes of Christians, but what we want to do first, we must first add you to the body of Christ, to the Church of Christ. So if you stand in that guilty distance from God, having not obeyed God, then we've taught you what one must do to become a Christian. At this time, I'll turn it back over to your song leader. Thank you for being patient and listening to me from the Word of God, the proper attitude of stay-at-home Christian. Thank you very much for your patience this afternoon.